Hello and welcome to the She Talks Tech podcast by We Are Tech Women. This episode is the fourth in an AWS special series of She Talks Tech. The objective of these podcasts is to demonstrate how cloud technology is helping transform many industries like retail, financial services, and even sports. However, we want to hear from the women behind these stories, the women who are enabling these transformations, and to understand what they do day to day and how they got into working in tech. In this episode, Anna, Specialist Solutions Architect, and Mia, Machine Learning Solutions Architect, both will share with you their story about NLP journey into machine learning. So hello, both of you. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mia Chan, Machine Learning Specialist Solution Architect in AWS, and I'm based in Berlin in Germany. Originally, I come from Taiwan. In our team, we take care of customers in EMEA, that is Europe, the Middle East, and Africa, help them with the best practice of working with AWS according to their machine learning challenges.
Fantastic. And Anna?
Hi, I am Anna Griebler. I am in the same team as Mia. I am a specialist solutions architect at Amazon Web Services, and I live in London. In my case, my area of expertise is artificial intelligence. As you know, artificial intelligence is an umbrella term, and one of the areas I currently work on is natural language processing.
Fantastic. So Anna, what kind of work do you do at AWS?
Well, at AWS, a solutions architect supports our customers solving their business problem. Mia and I are specialist solutions architect in artificial intelligence and machine learning. So that means we help customers that have problems that require artificial intelligence and machine learning solutions. There are different types of solutions architect that have different areas of expertise and help customers in different projects. For instance, there is some specialist in fintech. However, we focus on artificial intelligence and machine learning.
Fantastic. And Mia?
Yeah. Another part of our job is to generate reusable content for both internal and external use. For example, like code samples on GitHub, and also blog post, newsletter, video, and podcast that we are doing right now. We spend a large part of our time preparing the previous two. So it's a mixture of coding, customer-facing, and community-facing position.
So I'm just going to ask the question, just in case our listeners don't know, what is GitHub?
So GitHub is a place that we commit our project to there, so people can see it's an open source platform, and then you can see different developers put their project there. You can copy their project to your place. You can also contribute to if you see any new ideas or if you find a bug in their projects.
Fabulous. So prior to joining AWS, Mia, tell me a little bit about your actual career history, how you got to kind of work at AWS and what that journey looked like.
Yeah, sure. So prior to joining AWS, I worked as a data scientist with my mathematics and computer science background. I started my AI program solving computer gaming programs and had my first AI gaming engine on Japanese mini shogi, a kind of the Japanese chess, as my master thesis program, which led me to the machine learning world. And during my career as a data scientist, I worked mostly with computer vision projects like object detection, video and image analysis. So for example, like to identify different kinds of the fishes or to raise alert when seeing people park on the red lines. Besides developing machine learning models, I'd also work closely with the DevOps team to manage our data science Kubernetes cluster. Kubernetes is a portable, extendable open source platform for managing containerized workloads to make sure we have safe environment for each role in our team to develop, test, and deploy machine learning projects. So my machine learning knowledge was not purely academic, but also coming from technical communities. I spent my time in communities about once a week since beginning of my career, which enable me both technical skills and communication skills.
Absolutely. We can gain a hell of a lot by learning from others and by having those communities, you know, to bounce ideas off and things like that. So I absolutely love that. So Mia, was your previous role very different from what you do now at AWS?
Yes and no. So when I applied the position at AWS, I found being a specialist of solution architect was so different from being a data scientist. You will need to see the project at a higher level, to see machine learning projects from a solution perspective, not only seeing from the model itself, and also bring the business impact and to see what the system can bring, and how to maintain the system in a more scalable and reliable way. To amplify what customer would like to achieve in their machine learning projects, you will need both technical skills and communication skills. The technical part is one, like my previous role, the communication part is quite different. You adjust the presentation and meeting agenda according to your audience. That could be C-levels in the companies or developers who are using AWS products. Diversity was one of the culture shock that I had when I joined AWS. I mean, in a good way. I found people come from various backgrounds, people come from different food, cultural, education background, or hobbies. But we all speak the same language when we talk about AWS technology and customers' challenges.
I love that. I love it that you were shocked in a good way. So Anna, how about you?
Well, from my side, I grew up in Venezuela and got my undergraduate degree in systems engineering there. And after that, I did my master's and my PhD in Japan, which was a big change. One example of what I mean by that is that I was all the way in Japan getting my workplace ready at the artificial intelligence lab of the University of Tsukuba. And my mom called me from Venezuela to see how I was getting on. And we were chatting and she asked me, so how are the other women in the lab? And at this point, I turned to look around and realized that I am the only woman in the lab.
Yeah.
So coming from Venezuela, where my previous university, actually the heads of the physics and electrical and systems engineering departments were women, it had not even crossed my mind to check about that. But fortunately, after a couple of years, we were always like 5-6 women in the lab. And I like to think having me there helped with that.
Absolutely. Role models, right? And if you can see someone else that's working where you are, you think, why can't I achieve that as well? So yeah, fantastic. So what kind of projects did you work on whilst you were there?
Well, while I was there, I worked on using artificial neural networks for a biological signal analysis in healthcare applications. So in case you have not come across them before, neural networks are computer system models on the human brain, which sounds very sophisticated, but the idea is actually very simple. You have a network with several layers made of small pieces that we call neurons that have an input and an output. And they are connected to each other so that the output of the neurons in one layer is the input of the neuron in the next layer. And inside the neuron, you know, we said we had input output, the input is transformed into the output. And this is usually by a mathematical formula and using weighing parameters. So the learning part of machine learning in artificial neural networks is because these networks can learn what the right weighing parameters are based on examples that you give them. At the time when I was studying, neural networks were not yet widely used like they are today. And actually many people thought they did not give good results. However, nowadays with the large quantities of training data and some advances in new algorithms and especially huge advances in computer processing power, neural networks are the workhorse of machine learning. And for myself, I like to say that I liked neural networks before they were cool.
Excellent.
After Japan, then I moved to the UK and I was awarded a postdoc fellowship at the University of Essex. And after that, I moved to London and started my own consulting company. And when I was doing that, I worked as a data scientist and also a software developer and a solutions architect, mainly for startup companies.
Okay, so a lot different to AWS. So can you give us some examples?
Yes, sure. Before joining AWS, I worked on several different projects because, you know, each company had their own project that they wanted me to work on. So for instance, I made bespoke recommendation engines, extracting information from text using natural language processing. I also did one project evaluating information from Internet of Things sensors in a room. I also worked on natural language processing for sentiment analysis visualization and to extract information from documents. In that case, it create knowledge graphs that then can be used to get historical business information and insights. When I decided to join AWS, it's because I wanted to work on more challenging and interesting problems. So machine learning problems are great candidates to solve in the cloud. And this is because they require a lot of processing power in the training the model, and then can have a scalability requirements in the deployment and in order to get the incentives from the trained model. Yeah. So having the flexibility to use the computing power on demand and the ability to turn it off once you're done is very useful.
Fantastic. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So Mia, how did you get involved with NLP?
I think like for the NLP project that I started working with, one of the examples was the chatbot application. So in 2019, I participated at Voice and Travel Hackathon in Berlin, which is using chatbot platform to build an application. At that time, I built application for travelers who can get instant emergent notification, which is gathered from local news when they travel to a country and they don't speak the local language. So the project got to the top 10 in the global compete, which also shows the potential of helping others with language services and enhance the accessibility when people are in difficulty to understand, read, or hear information. That's how I found a natural language processing interest and inspired me to learn more about that and build application around it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Such an interesting topic. And you, Anna?
Well, I have worked on artificial neural networks for many years, and now the world we currently have, the large quantity of data and processing power that make it possible for artificial network to tackle the very complex problem of trying to process, understand, and generate language. So I think natural language processing is still a growing field, and there is still a lot of work to be done, and I'm interested in being part of the journey. So when you think about natural language processing, it is a tool that can help with accessibility. For instance, when you think about a closed captioning for the hearing impaired or communication through automatic translation, or even automation, you know, extracting information from documents at a big scale. And of course, there is also the opportunity to allow wider audience to interact naturally with computers using virtual assistance technologies, for instance, Amazon's Alexa.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're seeing more and more how humans will be able to communicate with machines in the same way that they communicate with each other. Tell me, how is this possible?
Well, the area of machine learning that deals with enabling computers to process, understand, and generate human language is called natural language processing. So when you think of a human baby, we spent many years learning how to understand language and how to both articulate replies and produce corresponding sounds. However, for a computer to be able to do the same, usually this requires multiple technologies and large quantities of examples. So in this case, the computer and particularly deep neural network can generalize and learn the patterns of how language works from the examples. Now, I mentioned before artificial neural networks, but what are, you know, now I'm speaking about deep neural networks. Well, the deep neural networks are not that different from regular neural networks. There have been some improvements in the algorithm and the training models, but the main thing that these networks have is more neurons in each layers and more layers of neurons. Like a cake, the more layers you have, the deeper the cake. So natural language processing using this new deep neural network can solve two main problems. First, it allows humans to communicate naturally with computers the same way we communicate with other humans. You know, the feeling of yelling at the computer when it does not do what you want it to do, and it would be great if it could understand you. And the second one is the natural language processing allows us to automate time-consuming, high effort, and costly tasks for language processing. So when we think about how do we get there, how do we think about computers understanding the human language? And then there are several steps. So it's first necessary to capture what is being said. So if you are for audio, this is through automatic speak recognition. And for text, if the text is not already parsed character by character in a computer readable way, you can use a computer vision algorithm such as optical character recognition to extract it. For example, if you have a filled out form. But after what is being said has been acquired, then the computer needs to understand what it means. And this usually requires an additional model that takes the words and punctuations and extracts the meaning from them. And more we see that customers are not only looking for insights from documents, but also starting to explore the conversations between humans. And this can be both from recorded audio or also from social media. On the other side of this, if you want the computer to not only understand language, but to produce language, so there is an example if you have natural sounding answers to questions or translations to other language. And these require themselves specialized models to produce the sentences and phrases. And if your solution requires the output as text, you know, if it's a text output, your natural language processing journey, you're done, you can end here. However, if you want the computer to speak, then you will need yet another model to synthesize the voice and to add the relevant intonation so it doesn't sound like traditionally robotic.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating. So Mia, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, so as Anna mentioned, we see the technology that has explored the conversations between humans. The conversational AI makes it easier for humans to interact with computers as well. For instance, with Amazon Kindle and Amazon Lex. So Amazon Kindle is a highly accurate intelligent search service powered by machine learning, and Amazon Lex provide a service can build a conversational interface into any application using voice and text. So with this tool, you can build a conversational self-service with prepared documents for specific domains or use case. You don't need to type down the question as keyword search as in the past. Instead, you can talk to the service and ask with factorial question and descriptive question like, how do I connect to my headset to my network? However, the current state of the art for the machine learning to provide a conversation based on given topic instead of on all the possible topics that in the world. So it's usually interact similar to question and answer experience rather than chit-chatting on random topics.
So how easy is that to do nowadays?
Yeah, I think it's important to know that natural language processing is rarely a single model, but a collection of models that working together to simulate the complex computer that is human brain. Over time, AWS and others have developed several pre-trained models by using large quantity of example data required that Anna mentioned before. Natural language processing models also benefit from technology that allows you to customize this model with your own data. That is what we know as transfer learning. An example of this are AWS AI services. For instance, you can use Amazon Comprehend to uncover insights and connect in text. And you can use Amazon Polly to turn text into lifelike human speech. For more advanced practitioners that who want to train their own models, they can use Amazon SageMaker, which is a comprehensive machine learning services that allows data scientists and developers to prepare and build, train, and deploy high quality machine learning model quickly.
So can you give me some examples of that?
Yeah, so some examples like to extract information from call center calls and apply analytics to improve customer service. Natural language processing can be also used to index and search product reviews to improve product quality or to streamline support tickets.
Yeah.
Another use case is to categorize financial documents into relevant categories as well.
So how do you solve a natural language processing problem?
Yeah, so I think like right now is really exciting moment for natural language processing, because you can find large quantity of the data and processing power are available at a low cost. We are able to direct use pre-trained model as well as use transfer learning to adapt them to specific situations. For example, I was recently work on the document processing project in the real estate industry. The brokers send over pages of PDF files on a daily basis. And there's a document onboarding team who is checking those PDF files and find the critical information from the documents. They check back and forth, copy paste the relevant data to the system. So the process itself is repetitive, and it takes about 10 to 15 minutes to process just one single document. So the document process is making the information extraction process automated. When you receive a PDF, the critical information is automatically extracted from the document and populated to the system form. So from the bottom up, we extract the data from handwriting documents using OCR, optical character recognition. Depends on the data quality and the problem that you want to solve. You might need traditional computer vision knowledge to help the customer to achieve the better results. Then we need to understand the content using entity extraction with Amazon Comprehend, or build a custom model to extract information. On top of that, we need to make the process not only faster, but also more useful for the business. For example, you will be categorized and add labels to the documents, which means it's easier to manage and search the documents. And with these labels as metadata, the documents can be sent to corresponding department directly as part of the automated workflow. This makes the whole work process more efficient. Knowledge mining from past projects brings more information for the future projects. And following compliance regulations in the industry, but also requirements at this stage. So PII will come to the place. PII is the abbreviation of personally identifiable information. When it is used alone or with other relevant data, it can identify an individual. Sensitive personal identifiable information can include your full name, social security number, driver's license, or financial information, medical reports. So PII has to be treated really carefully and in line with regulations. To summarize the document understanding process, it extracts text from the documents, identifies structured data like tables, key value pairs, extract critical information like entities, and create smart search index from the data. So, which would help you to have a better search discovery, compliance, and workflow experience when doing document processing.
Right, okay. So what about you, Anna? Anything to add?
From my side, I'm very excited about the advances of automatic subtitling of media. For example, for short videos online, or interviews, or even online learning. Automatic subtitling allows persons watching the content to have the subtitles in their own languages. So traditionally, humans have subtitled the media. And this is a very labor-intensive process and requires a specialized training, and therefore it is also very time-consuming. For automatic subtitling, the first step is to capture the audio and extract the words. And here, there are some things to take into account. For instance, you have to try to get the best audio quality or apply noise filtering, remove background sounds, and ideally have separate channels for different human speakers. Also, you need to care about how the audio is encoded. All these factors can affect the word extraction accuracy. As you can imagine, you know, if you have bad audio quality, it is harder for the computer to process. We can use a machine learning model trained on a large quantity of data to transcribe the audio. At AWS, we have Amazon Transcribe for this. And many users add a custom vocabulary of specific words that you want Amazon Transcribe to recognize in the audio. These are generally specialized and domain-specific words or phrases. For example, proper nouns or, you know, my last name, which is not very usual. So if the domain is very specific, if you are in the legal domain or in information technology professions, you can also train your own full language models that are domain specific using examples of the domain in audio and the correct transcription. So one specialized example of this is Amazon Transcribe Medical. This is an AWS service, which handles the very specific medical terminology found in medical records. Specific models will do better for the specific domain. Like Mia mentioned, you know, if we have personally identifiable information, it can be an issue. And it is possible to detect and redact information at the transcription stage using a machine learning entity recognition model. And this would be the case if you don't want the personally identifiable information being part of the transcript, or you could even use the information of where this PII is found to bleep it out of the video. And then the same process can be used to redact, for example, offensive words. You can create your own decency filter to suit your need or your location or even your target audience. If you are performing closed captioning for the hearing impaired, or in my case, for non-English native speakers who sometimes struggle with accents, and you're not changing the language, you can also do sentiment analysis or voice volume analysis, and you can use that to extract whether the person is angry or sad or happy in order to provide a richer transcript. This kind of processing can be very useful also for situations such as call centers, when customer satisfaction in the call is very important. But this has always been very costly and time consuming to do manually across all calls. So where have we got in the process? So we are halfway there, actually. We have the text transcribed, and now we need to translate it. And here you can use something like Amazon Translate, which is an artificial intelligence translation service to convert your transcribed text for English to Spanish, for example. Like in the transcription model, here you can also enhance a model using custom terminology to make sure unique content is translated exactly. Another advantage that we have when we use automatic translations is you can translate to many different languages at once and not just the most common ones. And therefore also you're not restricted by things like workforce availability or funding. For instance, as of today, Amazon Translate can translate to and from 71 languages. You know, there is a usual ones, maybe English, Spanish, German, but there is also languages like Catalan or Welsh.
Fantastic. And it all helps to make things more inclusive as well. So absolutely love that. I didn't realize Amazon had so many tools. It's incredible. So I suppose the big question is, will computer generated subtitles replace human generated subtitles?
Well, probably not immediately. And this is because subtitling is not just word for word translation, but a lot of the time also takes into account specific turns of phrase or idioms. And you need to make sure that the meaning is maintained. Also, when you have subtitles on TV, there are restrictions on the length of the subtitle and the time it needs to remain on the screen so that people are actually able to read it, because we speak much faster than we read.
Yeah.
So nowadays, computer-generated subtitles are actually usually tagged. You can see it says this subtitle was generated automatically. And this is so that the audience knows what to expect. And I think that helps manage their expectations, and people are usually understanding of this. However, for critical content, a human review is still necessary in order to capture and translate idioms and cultural subtleties beyond the word-for-word translation. But I think in the future, given larger models with more examples of human conversations, that the ability to do this is not very far away. To paraphrase Archimedes, give me enough data and processing power and I shall move the world.
Indeed.
So when we consider actually, and this is the other side of this, when we consider the vast quantities of video content created every second online, it is just not possible for humans to keep up and subtitle it. Mm-hmm. So automatic subtitling makes it possible for more and more online content to be accessible to other persons in their native language at a fraction of the time, effort, and cost, like almost real time. And even a transcription or translation that is not perfect all the time or is very literal because it doesn't realize it's an idiom can be very useful to allow humans to enjoy media, access online education, and to remain informed with the latest news.
Thank you. Thank you for explaining that so clearly. So some of the ladies are probably listening thinking, oh my God, this sounds like an incredible area of tech to work in. So what advice would you have for our listeners who would like to explore working in the area of natural language processing in machine learning?
Yeah, you have to realize that your first model will not be your final model. That means it's just a starting point. You will have to iterate, test, and improve different parts until you meet the business objectives. And I'd expect that in 5 to 10 years, machine learning application will become more widely available, commoditized. The machine learning model application that we are talking about nowadays will become a software application with machine learning features embedded in it. So besides the machine learning knowledge, you will also need to polish the software development to bring the machine learning application to the bigger scale of business impact and social impact. And you would also need some business acumen and business domain know-how as well.
Absolutely. And Anna?
Well, I think the most important thing is that you need to look at all levels of the solutions. So you start actually at the end. You usually look at what is the problem the customer actually needs to solve. And then you have to go all the way to the beginning and make sure that your data ingestion and the quality of the data is good, because that is actually half the battle. And then you can optimize at every step of the process, the data ingestion, the data cleanup, model training, model evaluation. And finally, you apply business rules to your model. So implementing machine learning solutions involves a lot of experimentation. So you have to try a few different approaches and improvements before you get to your final solution. And this is very natural. So don't get frustrated at this step.
Yeah.
There is a book I would recommend if you want to learn more on this topic, and it's called The Efficient Machine Learning Practitioner, and it's by our colleague Olivier Couchon, and it has, I think, good information about all the pieces of the puzzle and how they come together.
Fantastic. So I mean, obviously we're all about resources, further learning, and keeping curious at She Talks Tech. So Mia, anything more that you could, any direction that you can point our listeners if they want to find out more, any resources?
Yeah, so if you want to know more about natural language processing on AWS or machine learning on AWS in general, there's a website that you can visit. It's called Ramp Up Guides, which can help you learn more about the database, IoT, Internet of the Things, general machine learning, and more. Each of the topic comes along a 4 to 5 pages long PDF files, include where you can find the resources like courses or certificate information and learning durations. And another resource I would like to recommend is the Amazon Machine Learning University. It's called MLU. The courses offered from Machine Learning University are the same courses that we use to train Amazon on developers on machine learning fundamentals. So you can start a self-paced and flexible learning process with MLU course online. The course recording and the code samples are all available on MLU website.
Do go and check that out. So it's been an absolute joy to speak to you both. I feel like I've had a baptism of fire in natural language processing. It's such an interesting topic. So Anna, obviously people may want to reach out. Where can they find you?
You can find me on LinkedIn, searching for my name, Anna Griebler. Actually, I am the only Anna Griobler in the world right now. So if you search for me in Google, you can always find me, which is both a blessing and a curse sometimes.
That's amazing. And Mia?
Yeah, sure. Feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn, search Mia Zhang. And my Twitter handle is by Mia Zhang as well. We hope you can have a great journey in the area of natural language processing and machine learning.
Fantastic. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you both and, you know, sharing your insights and your experience. I really hope that you've whet the appetite of some of our ladies to kind of go and investigate this interesting and incredible aspect of technology. So thank you for joining me. Thank you to all of our listeners for joining us for this episode of She Talks Tech. We hope you'll come back next week. A huge thank you to AWS. This is the last in the series. It's been incredible. So thank you very much. And don't forget to visit us next week. Speak to you soon. Thank you. Thank you.